The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Well, welcome back. Thursday, March 14th, 2024. I am Seth Leibson. Mr. Bill, good to see you. David Dahl, my producer, thank you. Good to see you. Miss Terry, 602-508-0960 is the number. Dangerous times we live in. Item from Fox News. Over 80 bands have left the popular South by Southwest Music and Arts Festival in Austin, Texas, in protest of the U.S. Army sponsorship, claiming it has supplied weapons supporting their violent oppression of the Palestinian people. Texas Governor Greg Abbott appropriately wrote, quote, bye, don't come back, close quote. If they do go somewhere like the land they are protesting on behalf of, namely Gaza and the West Bank, those artists likely will not come back. They should try their wares and lifestyles in Gaza and the West Bank and see how long they last. They've no idea the oppression they are protesting for. But now to that very army. There's the image and there's the reality. It's not as if the army is exactly maintaining the martial virtues we once knew. Just a couple of years ago, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, of the U.S. Army, testified to Congress that he was offended by charges of wokeness in the U.S. military. Lloyd Austin, now our Secretary of Defense, was sitting next to him. Here's what General Milley said, quote, I've read Mao Zedong, I've read Karl Marx, I've read Lenin. That doesn't make me a communist. So what is wrong with understanding, having some situational understanding about the country for which we are here to defend? He went on to say, I want to understand white rage, and I'm white. Close quote. In 2009, the day after an Army major shot up an Army fort in Texas, Fort Hood, yelling Allahu Akbar and killing 14 Americans, the chief of staff of the Army went on to the Today Show and said, quote, our diversity, not only in our Army, but in our country, is a strength. And as horrific as this tragedy was, if our diversity becomes a casualty, I think that's worse. Close quote. Got it? It's worse to lose diversity than lives. Force protection takes a backseat to progressivism. Yesterday, the phrase Army values replaced duty, honor, country in the mission statement at West Point. Have we lost our minds? Or as William Bennett once asked, does honor have a future? In The Abolition of Man, an important title, that, C.S. Lewis wrote, we make men without chests and expect of them virtue and enterprise. We laugh at honor and are shocked to find traitors in our midst. We castrate and bid the geldings be fruitful. You can tell a great deal about a society by understanding what it laughs about and what it finds laughable, by what it honors and by what it deprecates or depreciates, and by what it turns into laughingstocks. But there are things that should not be deprecated or depreciated or laughed at. Any graduate of West Point until now would know exactly what those things are, and they would likely start with duty, honor, and country. Let's work backwards for a moment. When Mark Milley said he read Marx and Lenin to better understand the country he is here to defend, he spoke volumes. And he lied. First of all, nobody reads Lenin. Second, why would you read Marx to, as he put it, better understand America? Third, why is white rage his focus rather than rage against America? Do you think Major Nadal Hassan was fueled by white rage? Do you think those who killed an equal number of Americans in our evacuation of Afghanistan were fueled by their own white rage? I hope I am wrong, but I think I will not be. Americans will be killed in building floating ports in Gaza. Will the killers, like the Hezbollah killers of Americans in the 1980s in the same region, there for the same purpose, be fueled by their own white rage? Were the 32 Americans killed by Hamas on October 7th fueled by white rage? No, is the answer to all those questions. But they will be fueled by other ideologies that begin and end with a country that used to pride itself on hard and durable principles like duty, honor, and country, and not slippery, shape-shifting, cream-of-wheat-like values. Those three words, duty, honor, country, were etched in what we thought was the edifice of time by General Douglas MacArthur, then retired, in 1962 when he told the gentlemen of the Corps, quote, those three hallowed words reverently dictate what you ought to be, what you can be, what you will be. They are your rallying points to build courage when courage seems to fail, to regain faith when there seems to be little cause for faith, to create hope when hope becomes forlorn. Close quote. That's an interesting word, forlorn. It derives from the words depraved and abandoned. General MacArthur would foresee exactly what would transpire at West Point, for in his 1962 speech, he spoke of the importance of those words, repeating them seven times, that phrase in his speech, even as some would someday dismiss them. He said this, quote, the unbelievers will say they are but words, but a slogan, but a flamboyant phrase. I'm sorry to say some others of an entirely different character will try to downgrade them even to the extent of mockery and ridicule. Close quote. Well, as Sir Thomas More said in A Man for All Seasons, I show you the times. As General MacArthur put it, quote, the code which those words, duty, honor, country, perpetuate embraces the highest moral laws and will stand the test of any ethics or philosophies ever promulgated for the uplift of mankind. Its requirements are for the things that are right and its restraints from the things that are wrong. Close quote. Values don't do that. Everyone from criminals to terrorists have values. Communists have values. Nidal Hassan had values. Diversity is a value. What criminals and terrorists and communists don't have, and what we trained West Point at West Point, were things that are right and restraints from things that are wrong. Not values, but virtues. Truths, hardened lessons distinguishing between, let's say, my truth, which is a value, and the truth, which is a virtue. Some years back, the political scientist Michael Barone wrote a book called Hard America, Soft America. Soft America was a country that abjured competition and accountability. Think of your schools that coddle and banned such things as dodgeball. Hard America had standards and trained. It had competition. It had winners. It had losers. It sifted. It distinguished. It judged. The thought was, over time, Hard America would win. Hard America would reclaim Soft America. The tragic irony was Soft America invaded and took over Hard America, and the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the military academies now resemble the sociology department of Harvard. This is perhaps how you can see the National Guard soldiers bowing, taking a knee in front of Black Lives Matters protesters, or Army recruiting videos featuring the bragging of a corporal saying she had marched for gay weddings and had two moms, with the gay weddings depicted in the recruitment videos and also an LGBTQ parade also depicted. Because, you know, the U.S. Army is about that now. Turns out Hannah Arendt was right. There is nothing so powerful as ideology. The progressives have one. General Milley told you where they came from. The America of Douglas MacArthur, we might say, just faded away when confronted by it. Now we can understand better, perhaps, why Whitaker Chambers, in Abandoning Communism, would say he thought he was doing the right thing, but joining the losing side. In a letter to William Buckley, Chambers wrote this, quote, it is idle to talk about preventing the wreck of Western civilization. It is already a wreck from within. That is why we can hope to do little more now than snatch a fingernail of a saint from the rack or a handful of ashes from the twigs and bury them secretly in a flower pot against the day ages hence when a few men begin again to dare to believe that there was once something else, that something else is thinkable and needs some evidence for what it was. and the fortifying knowledge that there were those who, at the great nightfall, took loving thought to preserve the tokens of hope and truth, close quote. I'd like to think that ages hence, people will look back at all this and remember precisely what Hannah Arendt wrote, quote, "The aim of totalitarian education has never been to instill convictions, but to destroy the capacity to form them," close quote. Maybe the day to mark that turn was when men and women of purported force, trained to save Western civilization, took a place called West Point and its convictions like duty, honor, and country, and turned them into values. I'm Seth Leibson. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, coming to you from the 960 Patriot Broadcast Studio, which is brought to you by the veteran-owned Midas Gold Group, your trusted source for precious metals. Young David, I see you have a pin on, but I didn't see what the pin said. You are remediating from yesterday, aren't you?
I'm with the Duke.
I'm with the Duke. Was that a effort to nominate John Wayne to the presidency?
Don't you wish. No, it's for Michael Dukakis when he ran for governor in 1986.
In 1986. Now, did you do that because we were speaking about the Dukakis race last night?
Yes, indeed I did. I don't have a Dukakis Benson pin at home, but this is the best I had.
You know, it's funny, this thing, America. You're too young to remember the 1988 presidential race. But I remember it very well. And, you know, when you're young at that age, how old would I have been? 19 or so, maybe? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you watch this stuff and you see someone like Michael Dukakis, as you would George Bush, but you see the nominee. It's a big deal. You know, this guy is running for president. This guy, he's in our TV. He's in our TVs every night. He's the biggest thing.
He's in my TV.
He could be the next leader of the free world, you know? Big deal, right? Some years pass, and I move to Boston, and I'm going to law school, and I run into him at the grocery store, and he's just...
No.
Yes, of course.
No.
Hold on. And he's just wheeling his cart of groceries, like me. And you think, you know, this is America. This is America. Like G.K. Chesterton wrote in his 1922 book, What I Saw in America... America sees a man famous and doesn't live long enough to see him become forgotten. Talking about equality being the norm in America. And I thought of that when I ran into Michael Dukakis. So I introduced myself, and turned out he was a professor of political science at the college I was going to law school at. At the university I was going to law school at, and he invited me to come by his office. And I didn't think he was serious, but I did take the opportunity because why wouldn't you? And we ended up having several meetings in his office, just one-on-one, just this diminutive guy, former, you know, nominee for the president of the United States. And it's just interesting how that works in America. Unless you're John Kerry, he you will not see rolling his cart through the aisles of a grocery store. He you will not see doing that. He you will see surrounded by people making six figures just to protect him. Duke, your Duke pin is what made me think of that. The reason we were talking about him yesterday was because I thought maybe 1988 might be the template in some respects for the presidential race this year, 2024. I might be all wet on this. You know, the future will tell.
Well, I think that if President Trump wants to pull a 1988, he could pull a Lee Atwater and have a Willie Horton ad. But in this case, it would be a Laken Riley ad.
Yeah, that was my point. Yeah, that's exactly where I was going. That's exactly right. Crime was a big deal in 88, and Willie Horton was kind of the emblematic representation of that in Michael Dukakis, Massachusetts. He was given a furlough and went out and committed horrific crimes on that furlough. And George Bush's campaign made an issue of it. Arguably, Al Gore actually brought it up in the primaries first. But George Bush's, in all candor, George Bush's campaign, you know, took it to a fare-thee-well in the campaign to hang it around Michael Dukakis' soft-on-crime record. And the complaint, of course, was that this was racist for George Bush's campaign to do so because Willie Horton was an African-American. By the way, it'd be interesting to know, young David, we should look, was his victim an African-American? I don't think so, but it might be interesting to know. In any event, the attack was that George Bush was exploiting race because Willie Horton was black, when what he was exploiting was crime. It was the action. It was the conduct. And, you know, this is a standard Democratic practice. Ilhan Omar does this all the time. You can't criticize me for what I'm saying. That would be, you know, that would be othering me. They do this with George Soros. Anyone who criticizes George Soros is automatically an anti-Semite because somewhere, somehow, George Soros has Jewish roots or something in his background. They use this ethnicity shield or minority shield, I guess, shield of amnesty from any criticism whatsoever. But the Lake and Riley thing is much the same in respect of illegal immigration and crime. You have two major issues in America right now: illegal immigration and crime. That is, you know, sadly, tragically represented by the Lake and Riley homicide and Joe Biden's unwillingness to stand by his comments that she was killed by someone who was an illegal because of this nonsense that nobody is an illegal, I guess. You know, you've seen these signs, no one in this house, no one is illegal, no one. Well, are they illegal if in your house if they break in? Does that make them illegal? Does that make them doing an illegal act? This nonsense that we can't say it was an illegal alien that allegedly murdered her because that's too offensive. To who is that offensive? Ask that question. Is it offensive to Lake and Riley's surviving family members and friends? No, that's not what the left cares about. It's offensive to the homicidal maniac. That's who they care about. And in that, I think, that use of rhetoric, political demagoguery, you get the whole picture of where the Democratic left is today. They care more about the appellation attached to a homicidal maniac who crossed the border illegally than they do about the murdered victim and her family. Now, I can prove that on another level as well when we come back on the other side of this break, because I want to show you how the White House has handled two very starkly different kinds of murders with two very starkly different kinds of victims. If you think the Democratic Party believes all people are created equal, think and think again. They don't. It matters on what your ethnicity was, what your race was, what your country of origin was, and now it matters what your gender identification was. I'm going to show you two tales of two different deaths and the way the White House handled them, one being Lake and Riley's and one being someone else's who wasn't Lake and Riley. So don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Seth Leibson, 602-508-0960. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, brought to you in part by the veteran-owned Midas Gold Group, your trusted source for precious metals. Young David sent me the Michael Dukakis ad. Interestingly enough, that one you sent me did not have a picture of Willie Horton.
Did not have a picture, but it had one of his victims in it.
Had two. The well, yes, a victim and a survivor. You're right. Yeah, a victim and a survivor. All the attention was on the fact that there was an ad with his picture, but this one, obviously with the Bush Quail name on it, did not.
Well, the famous ad is, of course, the revolving door.
Yeah,
ad.
Yeah, the revolving door ad. That's exactly right. Okay. It matters what kind of victim you are to this White House, to this political party. The White House did put out a statement when Lake and Riley was discovered to have been killed. Here's the statement from a White House spokesman, unnamed. Quote, "We would like to extend our deepest condolences to the family and loved ones of Lake and Hope Riley. People should be held accountable to the fullest extent of the law if they are found to be guilty. Given this is an active case, we would have to refer you to state law enforcement and ICE for more information." Okay. Unnamed spokesman under the White House letterhead on the death of Lake and Riley. I give you a press release issued today from Joe Biden. Jill and I are heartbroken by the recent loss of Nex Benedict. Every young person deserves to have the fundamental right and freedom to be who they are and feel safe and supported at school and in their communities. Nex Benedict, a kid who just wanted to be accepted, should still be here with us today. Non-binary and transgender people are some of the bravest Americans I know, but nobody should have to be brave just to be themselves. In memory of Nex, we must all recommit to our work to end discrimination and address the suicide crisis impacting too many non-binary and transgender children. Bullying is hurtful and cruel, and no one should face the bullying that Nex did. Parents and schools must take reports of bullying seriously. My prayers are with Nex's families, friends, and all who loved them, and to all LGBTQI plus Americans for whom this tragedy feels so personal. Know this, I will always have your back. To LGBTQI plus young people across the country, you are loved exactly as you are. If you're feeling overwhelmed or alone, you can call or text 988. Okay, the difference of how the White House handled two different deaths. One, a murder by an illegal alien from an anonymous spokesman getting three sentences. The other, a full statement from Joe Biden invoking his wife over a person who was trans who committed suicide after it looks like, with all due evidence, she's the one who started a fight with three other girls, and evidence of being bullying for being bullied for being trans, not prevalent. So a narrative has been built up about the one who obviously is family we grieve for. No one should lose anyone to any kind of death, premature death, obviously, and you know. Inherent in what Joe Biden said, even though he may be playing fast and loose with some of the facts, one doesn't want to argue with any of the merit or content of what he said. But it might have been nice to see some kind of equity, if that is the word the White House likes to brew it about, for the death of someone named Lakin Riley, which was all the more preventable. And not indeed a suicide, but a homicide that could have been prevented, save for the policies of this White House that kept telling us our border was secure when we all knew it wasn't, because the abuse of politics in the English language is to make bad look good and murder seem respectable, as George Orwell wrote in Politics on the English Language in 1946. It's sad, and it's a shame, and you know what? It's not equitable. I'm Seth Leibson. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. We don't do this too often because when it's special, we love to hang a lantern on it. We are delighted to announce a new show sponsor. They make these shows available to the listeners free of charge, and that's why we owe them so much gratitude and thanks. And that new sponsor of this show is Travec, T-R-A-V-E-K, Travec Remodeling and Roofing, locally based here. I went out and met with the team at Travec, and I was so impressed with not only what they do, And the people there that I got to meet, but the company's missions and value statements. And so it is a delight to welcome into the studio for a few minutes Bjorn Johnson, who's with Trevic. Bjorn, welcome to the show, and thank you for helping us promote the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having us on.
You betcha. I do this with every first-time guest, so before we get to the business part of it, tell the audience a little bit about yourself, any autobiography you'd like.
Yeah, sure. So I'm a little new to the Valley. I've been here for about 8 months. From the Pacific Northwest originally, and brought myself and my family down here to a little bit more sunshine.
Yeah.
To join Trevic, and it's been awesome so far.
It's funny. So you're a little new to the Valley. Usually, that sentence is rest of that sentence is followed with something like, "I'm a little new to the Valley. Only been here about 10 years." you are a baby.
I am a baby to the Valley. Yep.
But you're not a baby to the industry.
No.
You've been in it for a long time, haven't you?
Yep.
Trevic. Tell the audience a little bit about what Trevic does, remodeling and roofing, what your specialties are, where you're located, and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, sure. So Trevic, we feature mainly luxury home remodeling, kitchens, baths, whole house remodels, and then we also have a roofing vertical as well. We've been in the Valley for 20-plus years, so Trevic is certainly not a baby to the area.
Yep.
Long-lasting and long-standing reputation for really, really quality work and a community-centered company.
Yeah, I liked that part about the community-centered, too. I mean, I went there and I saw all the materials you have, and it is obviously beautiful stuff. I kind of wanted to take a shower right there, to be honest with you. You have the shower heads and all that stuff. But the community values, you also have a kind of a community center, a gathering place that people in the community can use for events. And you guys help the community. You do monthly meetings, don't you? You want to say a word about that?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, so we've got monthly seminars that we put on for the community. And really the thought process behind this is whether or not somebody uses Trevic for their remodeling needs or not, we understand that that journey and that process can be frustrating and it can be hard.
Even some do-it-yourself stuff, right?
A lot of some do-it-yourself stuff, yeah. And so we put these seminars on as a purely educational seminar to the community to let people know what to expect when you're walking into a process like this.
A remodeling process, typically a kitchen or a bathroom, right?
Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
Is that most of the business, kitchens and bathrooms?
Kitchens and baths, and we do a lot of whole house remodels as well. We find that when people start opening up their kitchen or their bathroom, they decide, well, the rest of the house needs a brush up too.
Well, let me give the website out real quick. Trevic.com, Trevic.com, Trevic.com. You, when you gave me a tour and was introducing me around to many of your colleagues and employees, you had on your wall some values or mission statements, and you made a very serious point that, you know, a lot of places have those on their walls. These actually mean things to us. This is almost biblical for us. You want to say a word or two about all that?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of companies do have their mission statement or their values on their website, and they're nice to look at.
Yeah.
For us, we've got these culture messages throughout our entire building, and we do that because they are an intrinsic part of who we are, who our employees are, how we treat our customers. You know, we tell people we like to provide the ultimate Trevic experience. And for us, that experience is something really special. And it starts with the values that we have, both individually and as a company.
I was, I think, joking with you at the time, but not really. I mean, I was just riffing when I was with you guys that what was palpable to me about my tour over there at Trevic was the old Olympia beer commercial. You're from the Pacific Northwest. You remember Olympia beer. The line on it was, the motto was, it's the water. It might just as well be true of Trevic. It's the people.
Yeah, for sure.
Who work there and who you serve. I mean, you have clients and customers that clearly, very clearly, you keep very close relationships with.
Yeah, and that's our goal with any customer that we deal with or any employee that we hire.
Yeah.
You know, one of our slogans is Together Building Dreams.
Yeah.
And for us, that means internal employees, our customers, the community, however we can bring those dreams to life.
Yeah.
That's important to us.
Trevic.com, Trevic.com, remodeling and roofing. I would be curious. I'm lousy at do-it-yourself. It's just some people are born to it. Some people aren't. I'm not. I'm in the second category. So I am kind of curious what some of the most common questions are that you do get in these community educational seminars that you do? What are some of the biggest problems or concerns or questions people have?
Yeah, that's a great question. We run into people that think that they're do-it-yourself.
Yeah, there's that too. That was my dad. That was my dad.
And,
right.
And oftentimes, you know, we'll walk into a project that's half torn apart. Maybe they've done the demo themselves.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the questions that we see in those seminars aren't necessarily towards the do-it-yourselves that have things kind of already torn apart, but really wanting to understand what should I know when I'm looking for a contractor? What should I look out for? You know, people's prices are all over the board, and am I getting price gouged? You know, what should I expect?
Yeah, that's a good question too, right? Am I getting a right quote or not? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're good at telling them whether they are or not. You guys are also, if I'm not mistaken, the only or one of the only certified, help me out here.
Yeah, with NARI.
Yes, right, yep. Which is the National
Association of Remodels.
So you guys are actually the only company in the Valley that is certified by the National Association.
We are currently, yeah. Some of our competitors may hear this and start walking down that path, but it is quite a process to become certified, and so we're proud of that.
No, well, it's fantastic, and you guys really are something. I had an old boss. You may be too young to remember him. He was a cabinet member, and he ran for vice president. Jack Kemp ran for president too. And he said he cried two times a year, on two occasions, Fourth of July, and whenever he saw a new small business open up. And I once asked him, I said, every small business? He says, well, maybe not every small business. And when I went to you guys up at Trayvec, I thought this is the kind of business he would cry about, because it's just so perfectly American, and it's so perfectly based in the community, and the guy and the way that you have a desire to work with the community, even for people who will never be your customers or clients, right? Just to kind of help them out and just give back to the community what it gives to you.
Yeah. You know, and our focus is, you know, if we do right by people, the customers will come
it
to us.
It pays off.
Yeah,
it
we're less concerned off. With, yeah. you know, sale, and we would much rather create value and something that's meaningful for the community. And we know that eventually those people will come to us when it's right.
And everyone was so gosh darn polite too. Nice people. You guys are nice people, but you're also quality people, and you do a quality job with quality work and craftsmanship. Trayvec Remodeling and Roofing, TRAVEK.com. Thank you for being a new sponsor, and thanks for coming in, because I like to introduce to our community who's behind our show as well.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me.
Bjorn Johnson, thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. March 26th is our Fighting for Freedom event. We're bringing in Mike Gallagher and Brandon Tatum. Officer Tatum and myself will be on stage talking issues in the election, getting your feedback, how to think about them, what we think they will be, how to talk about them, how to convince other people to see the issues the way we see those issues. March 26th, you can get tickets at 960thepatriot.com. Gallagher, Tatum, and me, and other special guests. Young David, anything else we need to let people know, or are we good?
I would like to be the first to announce that we are offering new underwritten general admission tickets.
Oh, we got a new sponsor
that's
doing
right.
a matching.
I'd love to thank YRefi for this.
Good.
You know them. You love them. We do a lot of reads for them on the show, and I'd like to announce to you, the audience, that we are now offering $25 general admission tickets. So now it is the best possible price. Go out, get tickets for your neighbor, your neighbor's friends, your dog, your aunt, your uncle, everybody else, and I want them all there March 26th at Arizona Christian University.
We are dog friendly. there is a picture floating around Twix, of Mike Gallagher in my old studio in Washington, D.C., hugging a young baby puppy, Dagny the Wonder Dog. It's somewhere.
Oh, that's cool.
Have you not seen that picture?
Yes, I have.
You've seen it. he came into the studio one day, and I brought Dagny into the studio every day. And when she was in her younger and more vulnerable years, and he just said, oh, I love this dog. And there's a picture of him hugging her. Dagny the Brittany, she that breed likes to hug. They're a hugging breed. I didn't know that. I thought it was particular to her until I went on this hunting trip in South Dakota one day and one weekend. And they used Britneys for, you know, for as the gun dogs. And they had all these Britneys and they let them out. And again, they all came up and started hugging us. It's there. It's a Aww. Funny and cute breed. Anyway, you March 26, 960, the Patriot. .com to get your tickets for Gallagher, Leibson, and Tatum. And thank you to YRefi for doing an underwrite to cut the price down for general admission at $25. 602-508-0960. I saw Rick was calling in. Call back. I'll do a top of the hour news break and then take calls on anything you want. Be right back.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.